Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Defense!
Defense! All the hard work, let's go!
College football today.
Back on College Football Today, sponsored by BetDSI.com. We're rolling into our daily fantasy picks. But before we do that, DailyRoto.com is putting more than $25,000 on the line for its subscribers this NFL season, entering paid contests on FanDuel and bringing you along for the free roll. Have the chance to win big this year alongside Sports Grid CEO Jeremy Stein, one of the only men to have won two separate $1 million prizes. Each week, we'll select lucky subscribers to sweat with us and split 50% of the profits. No profits that week? No worries. Your name will get tossed back into the hat the following week. Head to dailyroto.com/sweat. That's dailyroto.com/sweat. And learn how to get in the action and win your share of $25,000. That's dailyroto.com/sweat. I'm sweating today with my
picks. I'm sweating too, actually.
I'm sweating all day long,
Dave. I hope I'm not going to sweat too much. I hope we just cruise through the day nice and dry.
College football has become like college basketball. There's so many momentum runs that no matter how big of a lead, that lead last week, 37-7 by Hawaii, I had Hawaii on the money line. I'm sitting back. I'm enjoying at the pool. Next thing you know, it's 40-34.
They're teenagers, right? So it's emotional.
40-34.
There's emotional waves amongst the fans. One of the things I love the most about college athletics is actually the crowd noise, right? You watch an NFL game, you watch an NBA game, you don't have that shrieking. You'll have grown men and adults, etc. Collegiate, you have the sort of my life depends on this game. The keg party, the Saturday night, and everything else in between matters so much. And you get this sort of sheer desperation amongst the fans, amongst the band and the entire atmosphere in the stadium. You can't beat the college football atmosphere and college sports. I've always said, guys, if you gave me a choice and you said, all right, Morenci, you're on an island. You can only watch the games on Saturday or on Sunday. I'm taking Saturday every time.
Oh, Saturday's great. I mean, that's what it's all about. I'm going to be watching football from 12 o'clock, well, once the show ends, from 1 o'clock till about 3 o'clock in the morning today.
The Hawaii game. The Hawaii game's over.
I love Hawaii in that matchup.
We get only a certain amount of weeks out of the
Navy.
Year.
You like Navy with the triple option.
We
huh?
get a handful of weeks out of the year, so we have to cherish every one
You're
of
right.
these Saturdays,
right.
you know, because it goes by very quickly, and every weekend matters. And
what
I love about college versus the pros is, you know what, you could be a 6-5 team, but if it's the Egg Bowl and it's November, it matters to the fan base. Yeah, those games matter. So,
and even the bowl games that they say don't matter.
They really
when
don't.
You
matter.
Watch these
we'll
kids
talk about
after,
that in
you,
December,
when you watch but. These kids after a dramatic win and you say, tell me it doesn't matter to these guys. Yeah.
Yeah. So
let's talk DFS.
Yeah, I do. I have a couple of picks for DFS. I'm going to throw out some of my top picks. I'm going to start at the quarterback position. Tiamu today, Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I think he's got great value. He's not. He's
yeah, but
not
the, game,
up there.
The game just started.
Well, they missed out, but all right. So I'll give Drew Lock then. I like Drew Lock as another one of my guys. Yep. But not only that, Armani Rodgers from a value perspective. He goes up against USC today. He's a dual threat quarterback.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that game much. Let's get into it.
We're going to get into it because I like a USC player and I like Armani Rodgers. He's right in the area. I think if you look, 5,600, maybe 6,100 from a quarterback value.
Very affordable.
Yeah, he's going to play the whole game. I mean, whether
$6,100.
$6,100. whether they're winning or they're behind.
Okay, guys, how about
this? The whole game.
How about I blast through the quarterbacks quickly in the prices?
Yes.
And you stop if you like a guy or you want to spend the money on him.
I got three quarterbacks.
All right, Will Greer's the most. This is for the 330 slates in the next contest coming up. Will Greer, $10,500. McSorley, $9,800 against
Dapp
State.
I like him, but it's expensive. Go ahead.
I'm looking at Drew Locke against Tennessee Martin. I think he probably throws four or five touchdown passes.
Will he play the whole game, though, is the question. That's the one concern.
Probably not.
I have about
2.5 quarters.
JT Daniels, $8,700 his first start. No.
Go.
Jake Fromm, $8,200.
No.
Fields.
Nope.
No.
Sears. How about Stidham? $7,800, but
against that Washington secondary.
Washington allowed
190
passes.
Two of my guys have not been mentioned. I want to hear
Browning is $7,400. Stanley, Iowa. Elliott, $76. Who are you looking at?
Where's Justin Herbert against Bowling Green?
No,
that's a later tournament. Sorry.
Early.
I do like Herbert as well.
The only one I like
early. I'm going to go with Drew Locke out of this.
I like Drew Locke. But again, if you want a guy, a dual threat, I think you go with Armani Rodgers.
And I stack him with Emmanuel Hall.
Yeah.
Now, something we can say about this is what's unique with DraftKings and college football, guys. They have a flex, but they have a super flex.
Right.
They have a super flex, you can do a quarterback.
Right.
So you could do two quarterbacks. Right. So you could put a Drew Locke in for more expensive and then come back with a Rodgers at the back end here, which I wouldn't think is a bad idea.
Because
I want to get a little bit of Hall. I want to stack Hall and Locke together.
Well, I think the thing, too, that you have to look at with the value, Kyler Murray is I believe, $11,900. And you mentioned some of the other guys, Will Greer. Again, he's going to play the whole game. Now, Will Greer, we have to see how
he's
going to
be the most publicly owned guy.
Exactly. So you want to win the draft. Who are you going to pick? I mean, you want a guy that could put up numbers, but again, is going to be in there for four quarters. Jake Bentley could be a guy, but again, they're playing Coastal Carolina. That field's banged up. They play Georgia week number two. Are they going to risk Jake Bentley in the second half of that matchup?
Yeah.
So at $9,100 or $8,900,
right.
I'm not so sure you take Jake Bentley. I want a guy that could put up numbers, not only passing, but running the football. And from value, that's why I like Rodgers. He rushed for 780 yards
last year.
But
are there any one of these teams, and you're right, I think you're exactly right, Joe. I think UNLV, I was going to say, in fantasy, you're looking, all right, I want a team that's going to be getting blown out, playing from behind.
Right.
Which one of these teams can actually trade points a little bit? UNLV.
Right. Lexington Thomas, I love you.
Read my mind. Well, $5,200. Right. Nice pick, Lexington Thomas.
Go through some of the running backs because I have one pick there that
I'm going to get. Thomas. All right. Let's see. What do we got here? Let me get off.
I'll throw one out. I know it off the top of my head. I want to stick to the USC game.
DeAndre Swift is the most expensive one.
Okay. So
I wanted to roll the dice with Little Cook, Dalvin Cook's brother, James. Yeah, I'm hearing great things. Yeah. He's going to get a touch or two in this game.
Yeah. Here's the thing, Rich. I mean, I like Stephen Carr. We spoke about it. He's
so 9,100.
Exactly.
So you think he'll be the bell cow, new quarterback. They're going to hand it off.
Well, here's the thing. Only 363 rushing yards last year, but we know he's a 5-tool player, catches the football in the short to intermediate passing game. You're talking about a UNLV defense that allowed 239 rushing yards per game, doesn't have their starting defensive end, and USC does face Stanford next week. How much of a big game plan are they going to show?
Well, and let's factor in for Steve Carr. Let's factor in also that he's coming off of back surgery. So
herniated disc.
Yeah,
7-0 Mississippi. Sorry, guys. 7-0 Rebels. Early touchdown for Mississippi. Up 7-0.
Looks like Texas Tech is driving.
Oh God! Maryland just scored a touchdown.
Not surprised. Tell me who that was. I want to just soak that. I want to let that marinate in my mouth.
Quick update: the Maryland Terrapins have scored a touchdown this game.
I should have listened to Sermonello instead of Lisi.
That's
I'm throwing you under the bus right away.
20-0.
You two were like stepbrothers in that movie because what happens is last year Alex Magoo got hurt.
Fear the turtle, baby.
He got hurt and all of a sudden, FIU was supposed to win
7-0 Terps. I'm on the over, too.
Go back and watch the 51-41 win last year by Maryland.
Oh, my goodness. Texas Tech have just scored a touchdown.
It's a Big 12 game.
And the track meet has begun.
That game is, you need to be up until about 9:30 tonight to watch that. That Texas Tech game is still going to be going on around 6 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, 7-6, extra point pending. They played 4 minutes.
Let me give you a couple of running backs here that I like here, guys. I don't know about the prices, but I mentioned Patrick Laird. I can't imagine.
Yep. He's $8,900.
Is he really? $8,900. More expensive than I thought. Patrick Laird against a bad North Carolina against a bad North Carolina defense missing their interior lineman, number one. I love Damian Harris at night against Louisville. Those are the two running backs that I have. Who do you guys have?
You're a Georgia guy, Joe. What's your thought on Holyfield?
Well, I love
because he's a monster. He got a touchdown or two tonight.
DeAndre Swift is a little banged up, and we know that Georgia utilizes two running backs. They did it last year with Chubb and Michelle. They put up 32 rushing touchdowns. It was a team in Georgia that rushed for over 200 in 12 of their 15 games. They were 11-0 against FBS opponents and won those games by 25.7 points per game. Holyfield's a huge back between the tackles. So is Swift.
No Zamir White out for the season, the five-star player.
That offensive line for Georgia is going to wear them down. And look for Holyfield to get the carries in the second half, especially if Swift starts the game. They're going to take him out. They have South Carolina on deck. How many hits does he want to get, especially if he's a little nicked at 5,400, 5,600? I love Holyfield in that game.
What are you looking at for wide receivers here? We've got Sills is $10,000.
That's too high. I like
Vaughn's,
too high.
Vaughn's is $8,800.
Jennings led the team in receptions. Jennings led the team in receptions. So I would, only had one touchdown last year, but now Sills is the go-to guy. So you got to expect him to be double covered.
Let's talk about Cal a little bit. A little bit of value here with Wharton III, $5,800.
I think he only scored one time last year, though, Vic Wharton.
Well, keep an eye out.
Six touchdowns.
Speaking of Cal, Robertson moves over to Georgia.
Yes.
So now you have Riley Ridley, you have Terry Godwin, you have Robertson, and my guy, I like Mecole Hardman. I think he'll catch a lot of passes today. I think he's in the area of 4,900. He's the deep threat for Georgia. While they're double-teaming Robertson, Mecole Hardman could be great value.
I had a great value pick at wide receiver, but the game's already started. Hurd, former quarterback with Texas.
Jalen Hurd.
He was only $3,900.
Gerard Hurd.
Yeah, Gerard Hurd. Okay. Exactly.
I thought he was talking Baylor, which is.
Yeah, exactly. Gerard Hurd. Only $3,900, but that's off the board right now. As far as wide receivers, as I stated, I think Hall and Mizzou probably hauls in two touchdowns. Pardon the pun.
Wow. Okay.
Wasn't anybody done deliberately.
Lexington nice, Thomas, what's he for?
$5,200. I think it's a nice price.
That's not bad value there.
No one wants him because he's running into that USC defense.
Well, USC, I mean, they were 9-1 last year and won those nine games by 13.7 points per game, but they were a little soft in run support at times. Again, they're probably going to play, if they jump up early, they're going to play a lot of players to get depth before Stanford on deck week two.
I'm looking, all right, so... Yeah, they don't have a lot going. They got a three-game slate. We just went over the nine games night. So we just went over the 3:30 slate. You guys were talking about Justin
Weber?
Herbert.
Mike Weber's another value pick. I mean, he might be off the board. That game started already.
Yeah, I would go with, Herbert's the most expensive guy tonight at 11-1.
What, Herbert is?
Yeah, you could stack him here.
How
with Dylan
value
Mitchell.
With Juwan Pass? He's got to be, what, 4,000, 5,000? Going up against Alabama?
Yeah.
I like
that's pretty bold.
Oh.
$6,900.
Wow. Value. He's got three. Either way you look at it, whether you think I'm right.
He might go the way of DeAndre Francois. Yeah. Might not even get out of the game.
Patterson, Shea Patterson, 8,100 tonight.
You're not going to put up big numbers in that game. Yeah. Not against that Notre Dame defense.
Yeah, they might jump up early, Michigan, and look to rely on that.
Well, how do we just not look at the quarterbacks then in the SMU and North Texas
game? Ben Hicks.
Game?
What's Ben
Mason
Hicks?
Fine, $9,100.
Yeah. Ben Hicks has got to be around
Ben
seven.
Hicks, 8,500.
Yeah.
Ben Hicks put up 22.3 DraftKings points per game last year. Mason Fine, 21.5, and you're getting Ben Hicks.
No Courtland Sutton, though. No Courtland Sutton.
You're right.
For
best
ben
wide
Hicks.
Receiver gone.
I'm just saying, Trey Quinn.
James Prochet, I think, is back.
You know, Joe. They're going to be able to throw.
Can you look up Dylan Colley from BYU? I expect him to have a big game against that Arizona defense.
Not in this tournament. Let's see. Maybe it's in the late slate here in the final three.
Yeah, Dylan Colley. Yeah, that would be fine. That would be late.
Excuse me, you got the Turbo four game. Different formats. And like everyone, listen, it's a lot of fantasy experts around here, obviously, but no one's really used to this super flex, right? With two quarterbacks and how you approach it. You go with a wide receiver.
Give us an update on that Ole Miss score, if you can, because I think...
7-up.
You know what? I don't see a DraftKings for... Arizona's not here.
Yeah, they don't have
late
some,
slate, you got Louisville, Bama, four-game slate. Bowling Green and the Ducks. Baylor... and the Akron-Nebraska game.
Now, Baylor has some talent. I like Charlie Brewer. I think he's going to be a quarterback that you keep an eye out on. The one thing about Charlie Brewer over the last six games of the year last year, he threw 11 touchdowns, four interceptions, and averaged around 308 passing yards per game. He has weapons.
14-7 Ole Miss.
All right. Jalen Hurd is there from Tennessee now at the wide receiver position. So they have some playmakers. Baylor's going to look to start fast this year, especially after a 1-11 start. Brewer, Hurd, and John Lovett at the running back position are all valuable.
Ohio State with a quick touchdown, 7-0 Buckeyes.
Talking late games, how about Adrian Martinez against that Akron defense?
Yeah.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
Nebraska.
We saw Akron get shredded in the Boca Raton Bowl last year. I think they run the score up tonight. 55-10, 55-17. Yeah.
Exactly. And Adrian Martinez is young, true freshman quarterback, perfect fit with Scott Frost. I could see him accounting for three or four touchdowns.
That's the public sentiment, but let's keep in mind about Nebraska, guys. Worst rushing offense and worst rushing defense over the last 20 years in Nebraska football. But
Rich, we're not going to get a real pick from him. The guy goes to Thanksgiving dinner with the Bowden. It's like, you're like, we're going to get a pick. Joe's avatar. He's wearing an Akron tracksuit.
Joe's middle name is this.
There is bad weather there, but from a personnel perspective, Nebraska is built to run between the tackles. Scott Frost wants to utilize motion, run sideline to sideline. He does not have the offensive line type of personnel to do that.
Rutgers touchdown.
They'll cover that 16.5.
He does not have the type of offensive personnel. So, and when you're talking about Terry Bowden's defense, best third down defense in the MAC last year in the regular season. So they got blown out by FAU. I totally understand that. But
Nebraska will score at least 45 tonight.
Yeah, don't be shocked if Cato Nelson and the crew put up 28, 29. I mean, I think they can do. I'm not sold on. They gave up 50, Nebraska did, to Dimery Croft and Minnesota, who we know is not in Minnesota this year. So keep that in mind. We're just getting started. When we come back, we'll be breaking down the other games later today. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, and the Rockin' Canuck, Gabe Morenci, live from Studio 34.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Boring into week number one. Half hour left on the show. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, Gabe Morenci. Our show's powered by BetDSI.com. BetDSI all day long today. But we have three under the radar type of games. Boise State and Troy. Boise State won this ball game last year, 24-13. No Silvers, no Chun. No problem. I still like Troy in this matchup.
I do, too.
I like Troy in this ball game.
You know, this is
Brian
one of only two games on the opening weekend involving a pair of conference champions, Boise State.
I'm very high on Boise State this year, guys. I think we're looking at a double-digit win football team.
Yeah, I agree.
They were 11-3 last year, right? But
I think they could beat Oklahoma State. I think they have a legitimate chance of going into Stillwater and winning that football game.
I am not a big Brett Rippon fan, though. I think
he's
an average quarterback on a good football
team. I thought even Kozar moved the ball more efficiently than him at times.
Kozar was good. The way you beat Boise
State. But Rippon's, I lost a lot of money as a Bills fan with his uncle, Mark Rippon. But that's, of course, former Redskin quarterback. I think Rippon is going to settle down and come to his own this year. If he doesn't, I mean, we're going to find out who he is. But I legitimately think this team potentially could go undefeated. We saw San Diego State taking a step back. I really do believe Boise State is that good. And I don't want to get in front of them. Troy is rebuilding right now. I know it's tempting from a betting standpoint, taking the points on the home field. But ultimately,
double digits,
I think, listen, Boise haven't been a good home favorite under Harsin over the years. So that's why I don't cover these numbers often. This is on the road. It's a little bit different. I think Boise wins this game comfortably by 17 or so.
Well, they were 5-2.
It wouldn't shock me.
I agree with you in that regard. I'm not sold on them as being an elite team. I like Madison. He rushed for about 1,086 yards. I think the loss of Cedric Wilson on the outside is going to be big for this team. And the way you have to beat Boise State is over the top. I mean, they gave up 212 passing yards per game. Caleb Barker's making his first start here. Yeah. He completed 62% of his passes.
Neil Brown has done a great job with quarterbacks. I think this is one of those cases where it's sort of a system play
Exactly. That's why I don't think there'll be a big drop-off. They only allowed 105 rushing yards per game.
It's not like Brandon Silvers was a second-round draft pick. Right. I mean, so he is replaceable. Caleb Barker has gotten some reps before.
Right. He's assisting in the system.
I'm buying into Neil Brown, the head coach, one of the rising stars among head coaches in college football. Plus the fact that it's at home. Boise State with a lot of hype in the offseason. I think they win the game, but I think this is close enough where Troy gets the cover.
How good are Troy? That's the question.
Troy's got a good
Troy
secondary.
Was good enough.
They have a good secondary.
They beat LSU and Baton Rouge as a 19.5 point dog. Now, granted, Chun went off in that ball game. He rushed for over 200 yards. Silvers, though, came on in the bowl game against North Texas. I mean, again, I think it's more of a system. You're talking about an offense last year in Troy that put up over 260 passing yards per game, rushed for right in the area of 149 yards per game, but they only gave up 105 rushing yards to opposing offenses. And their front seven is very, very tough, and the way you have to challenge them is vertically. That's why LSU lost that ballgame. They couldn't challenge that defense vertically.
And I don't think Boise State will either, because you mentioned Cedric Wilson is gone. I think Brett Rippon is more of a dinker and a dunker. Alexander Madison is not Jay Ajayi.
He's
not Jay Ajayi.
So he's not built to either.
I think this is a low-scoring game,
Madison,
sort of similar to last year.
Troy 6-1 against the spread last seven when getting double-digit points as well. Listen, I'm big on Boise this year, and the gambler in me wanted to take Troy in this football game. But now the kickoff's approaching. We can't bet on every game. And I just, I can see Boise. Boise are going to be up by seven or so late.
Not one of my best bets, but.
You know, they probably win by 14.
Certainly not one of mine. But if we're talking this game right here, I mean, I'm leaning to Troy with the points. I mean, you might as well take them with the money line as well. I mean, if you like them plus 10 and
a half. I don't think they can win a game.
I think they can. I think they can. At home, it's a different animal.
I think this year's Boise team will be better than last year's Boise team.
The defense is phenomenal. They lose one starter, a very good one, Leighton Van Der Esch, first round draft choice, the linebacker, but they bring back 10 starters to a defense that was one of the best among the group of five. So they'll be a tough out. And they should be, along with UCF, they should be the favorite to get one of those New Year's Six
and
bowl
games. Forced turnovers last year, plus 13 in turnover margin. Whenever you could do that on the road or on a neutral field site, you give your offense a short field. So if they can do that, they'll get the victory a little bit later today. But Rich and I both like Troy. Gabe is leaning towards Boise in that matchup. Let's turn our attention to another under-the-radar game. It's Doc Holliday and Marshall, the Thundering Herd, taking on Martin and Miami O with one of the most underrated quarterbacks, in my opinion, especially in the MAC, Gus Raglin. I like Miami O here. Spreads anywhere, right? 1.5, 2
It's bouncing
now.
Around as a pick'em. We'll get the updated number. You're right. You know, Gus Raglin's 10-6 as a starter. And we saw how the Redhawks closed strong last year. I think this is a dark horse in the MAC this year, guys, this Miami of Ohio team. We're talking about 17 returning starters on this football team, including Gus Raglin. It's too bad they open up with Marshall. It's a tough spot. But ultimately, I'm going to go with the home team here. I think Chuck Martin, I think this is a big year for this program, and I think they win this football game.
Yeah, those are all good points. I agree regarding Miami. Chuck Martin's done a good job. I think they get back to the postseason. James Gardner, one of the better wide receivers in the country, nobody talks about. You talked about Gus Raglin. I just think that Marshall has the superior defense. Both teams will be able to throw the ball. Tyree Brady, Marshall's wide receiver, outstanding, had the huge bowl game last year. They bring in a transfer quarterback from, of all places, Wagner of the FCS. But
very
Alex
good program.
Thompson.
Very good coach.
Yeah, and Alex Thompson, I've talked to pro scouts. They believe that he could have a shot to play on Sunday. So you have two mature passing games, mature quarterbacks. That Marshall defense, though, is better than anything Miami can bring to the table. This line has shifted. It was Miami of Ohio was a 2.5-point favorite. At one point, it became Marshall, 2.5-point favorite. So a lot of money going towards Marshall. I think that's good money. Marshall has won 9 of 10 in this series over Miami. Miami's headed in the right direction, but I think they go into a tough game against Marshall. Yeah.
Florida Atlantic and Oklahoma have escalated quickly. It's amazing. At the 7.5, 8 minute mark, it was scoreless. Suddenly it's 14-0 for the Oklahoma Sooners.
Wow. Wow. Interesting.
Woo-hoo! No, here's the
settle down, Joe.
Yeah. I don't know what that was.
I don't know. Oklahoma. The matchup,
Boomer Sooner is what
you're
supposed
to do. The matchup for Marshall, too. How big will they miss Chase Linton in this ballgame? I mean,
not much.
You don't think so?
He wasn't even drafted, was he?
So what does drafted have to do with his production?
Because he didn't have NFL talent.
Quarterback that produces at the collegiate level.
The point is, he's easily replaceable if he doesn't have an
system.
NFL arm.
You think he was a system guy?
Yes, especially.
I'm with both of you on this. I get Joe's point,
I think Alex Thompson has a brighter NFL future than Chase Linton does.
Yeah, he might, but he's still making his first career start, right?
It will be a big deal for him to take a step
on the road,
in competition.
On the road against a better quarterback in Gus Ragland. I mean, King is a solid running back. I like the physicality on the offense and defensive lines. They shut down a high-octane offense last year in the bowl game against Colorado State. So for me, I still think Gus Ragland at home, this team plays much better at home, Miami O does, than they do on the road. And they're looking for this is a big game for Miami.
It would be a big win. I mean, as Chuck Martin tries to turn things around, if they can get this win here, it dramatically increases their odds of getting to the postseason, which would be a big deal for this Red Hawk
New program. New quarterback, as you mentioned, for Marshall. Both new coordinators, too. New offensive coordinator for the Herd as well.
Yeah, and that's why I think the spread's right about even. I think if Chase Linton's... If Chase Linton's there, I think that Marshall's anywhere from a 7 to a 10-point favorite in that
Chase Linton is not Chad Pennington, by the way. Or Byron Leftwich.
Well, you know who Gardner Minshew
legendary,
is?
Legendary moment. Leftwich being carried down the field.
Are we going to Gardner Minshew?
We are.
Yeah. That's a great segue, Gardner Minshew.
I love him today. He's on the road.
Only Joe Lisi would say, I love Gardner Minshew.
I love Washington State.
He's Carolina cast-off. Could not win the job in Greenville.
But
he's going to turn things around.
Because he couldn't win the job. I mean, he completed 60% of his passes.
Remember Marcus Crandell?
Yes.
Old school East Carolina.
Jeff Blake.
Remember him back in the day.
Yeah, of course. Cincinnati Bengals.
That Peach Bowl back in Fulton County Stadium. Who'd they beat? NC State and Jamie Barnett?
I don't know. I want to talk about Wyoming beating Washington State.
They were actually good, East Carolina. They were a good program. They were a great team to bet on. With Skip Holtz, and you take the points.
Ruffin McNeil, right?
And man, they've just fallen.
Scotty Montgomery, one of the worst teams in America right now. Scotty Montgomery will be good.
Washington State over the last seven games, opening up against FBS and FCS opponents, 2-5. So Mike Leach and the crew have not stepped up. It's been a very difficult
offseason for Washington State, beginning with Mike Leach looking to take the Tennessee job. He had one foot out the door before the kibosh was put on that. I think he wants out of the Palouse. Obviously, we know about the tragic situation, their quarterback, Tyler Helinski. Now they have to go to the transfer, Gardner Minshew. And he'll throw for a lot of yards, but this is a very difficult task against the Wyoming defense. With all due respect, I disagree with our guest. It had nothing to do with New Mexico State. The reality is Wyoming has a top-flight defense.
They do.
Carl Granderson up front, Logan Wilson at linebacker, Andrew Wingard, a potential All-American in the second.
And you guys were just debating about NFL-caliber quarterback. All right, so, it's an NFL-caliber quarterback. But look at, so we'll find out. Jalen Ramsey doesn't think that Josh Allen's an NFL-caliber quarterback. But here he is. So it's seventh overall pick in the first round. Yet their offense could be better with Vanderwall, right? Josh Allen has a rocket arm and a ton of upside in National Football League. He wasn't a great college quarterback. No. He completed 53% of his passes. And that offense was a bottom-tier Mountain West offense.
And Wyoming won eight games last year in spite of the fact that they had a poor offense. And I don't think the offense will be the catalyst today against Washington State. I think it's going to be the defense. This is a huge game for Craig Bohl.
They got that ground game going last week. We'll see if they can do that again. But
the way you beat from a football perspective, statistics are great, but from a football perspective, how do you challenge Wyoming's defense? How do you beat them? You got to beat them over the top. They only allowed 174 passing yards per game. You want a similar game to keep an eye out on? How did Wyoming's defense do against Oregon's offense last year in Laramie? 49-13, because the type of offense that spread them out and challenged them vertically. New Mexico State.
Can the Cougars do this? Can they do it?
Why, are you kidding me?
Well, I mean,
we're talking about missing quarterbacks. Yeah, that guy, Luke Falk, was pretty good, right? Wasn't he?
Yeah, but come on. You're talking about a quarterback that he's not making his first start. He's played at the collegiate level. He's played within a similar scheme, and they're going to spread.
I think losing Falk hurts them more than the Cowboys losing Allen does.
Totally understood, but you have to also look at it. How do you beat Wyoming? They're going to challenge them with Williams in the short to intermediate passing game and force Williams on linebackers and nickelbacks. And he caught 72 passes last year. He's a factor in this matchup. Now, you look at some of the games that Wyoming's played, and I know Vegas is all high on Wyoming. Their total was 6.5 for the year.
I got in at 7.5, by the way. Well,
yeah. And they're a Mountain West team, so there's a little bit of a Vegas bias, but they like them out there.
From speed. They struggled last year, Wyoming did, against Iowa's passing offense with Nathan Stanley. They lost that game 24-3 on the road. I mean,
that was week one in bad weather.
All right, but what about Oregon at home?
49? I can't deny that. Right. I was on the wrong side of that game.
I mean, Justin Herbert is, you know, and Gardner Minshew, that's a big difference.
Right,
and listen,
saying,
we can't forget about the Washington State defense.
No.
Hercules Mata'afa, huge loss up
but
front.
Tracy and, Clays comes and there. I think he's a difference maker.
Tracy Clays compared to Alex Grinch. Alex Grinch was one of the rising stars. That's why Ohio State went out and got him.
They're not going to miss a beat. Tracy Clays, same type of.
Come on.
They're not rich. First of all, come on.
There's a drop-off. There's a significant drop-off to Tracy Clays.
But it's not. He's a guy that plays the same type of scheme. Tracy Clays predicated Minnesota football on ball control offense and a defense that could shut down the run consistently, right?
Did he do that at Minnesota?
Yeah. They allowed 120 rushing yards per game 2 years ago. He's not head coach, not because he shut down Washington State in the Holiday Bowl.
You're giving way too much credit to Tracy Clays.
Oh, come on. He got the win over Mike Leach and settled that offense.
Minnesota didn't even want him anymore.
But they won that
Minnesota
bowl game.
Cast-off.
Did he win the bowl game against Washington State? Did he win the bowl game?
Bowl games are meaningless to me.
Okay. All right.
I think Mike Leach is overrated as well, personally. So I like you guys going out of here. 17-7 Mississippi right now. They're late in the first quarter of play. Rice is up early on Houston, 7-3. 14-0, 5 minutes left in the first quarter with Oklahoma and FAU. Rich's slow turtles are they're fast today. It's 14-7 for the Terps.
Yes.
Come on, Herman. You overhyped, man.
Physical Texas defense is taking it on the chin.
Kansas State up 7-3 right now on Illinois.
Kent State.
Kent State.
That's
Rutgers still up 7-0.
Lovie Smith 5-19 in the last 2 years. Lovie Smith 5-19.
Nova up 13-3 on Temple right
now. That's it. David Hood's gonna get going though. Watch. They're on the 17-yard line too. For Temple, they're going in or they just score?
FAU can't get anything going offensively. This is a problem for them right now. It's just, you know, three and out punt.
Guys, give me picks. I obviously like Wyoming. It's one of my best bets. Again, I got
I like
in at
Washington
7.5
State.
Before that
it's
line
It's not a
came
best
down.
Bet for me, but give me Wyoming.
I'm taking Washington State in the matchup. I like Washington. I think their speed's the difference in that ballgame.
Gabe, we have time. Why don't you get it? You like UNLV. Tell me
I wanted
you
to talk
UNLV.
About this football game a little bit here. You have Armani Rogers going back to his hometown. It was a shock that he actually ended up going to UNLV. There's a lot to rebuild here right now. Sam Darnold's going to be starting next week on Monday Night Football for the Detroit Lions. So you get Daniels coming in here. Daniels was a state champion with Mater Dei, and he graduated high school early. He's a smart kid, and I think he's going to be a good quarterback. But you also lose Ronald Jones in the backfield here. And, you know, you've got Stanford next week. You've got Texas the following week. This is a glorified dress rehearsal scrimmage for USC. And quite frankly, we were talking about Lexington Thomas and company. UNLV have good skill position players. They have a good skill position player at the quarterback. They've got good running backs. They've got good wide receivers. And they've actually got a pretty big offensive line. In the old days I lived in Vegas, they were undersized. They got a beefier offensive line right now. I think we saw last year USC. USC are just sort of overvalued on a weekly basis all the time because they play in Los Angeles and they're USC Trojans. USC wins this football game, but probably by 17. I feel very comfortable taking a 26 in this game.
Do you? I'm against you. I think USC runs the football on them. I do. I think they
Remember last year against Western Michigan, Joe? They struggled in week one to pull away.
That's what everybody's looking at. I think they have to start fast. They have to keep Daniels.
I don't think Clay Helton's a great coach. He reminds me of Ed Orgeron. Oregon in the sense that he's a good recruiter.
Right.
And the kids wanted him, so he got the job. The kids are only going to be here for 2-3 years. If you're a college team, you can't listen to what the kids want. I don't know if Clay Helton's a great X and O coach. Give me UNLV plus the points. One of my best bets of the day.
Well, we'll see how that goes.
Well, look ahead is interesting. I think that's an interesting point. Didn't think about Stanford and Texas coming up.
Stanford came out flat last night.
Stanford
trailed at 1.7-2 in that ball game.
Stanford
against San Diego State. Now, you're talking about a Stanford team that lost both of those games. So that's a huge look ahead for both teams. I mean, were they looking at to USC in the
Where
first
is that game next weekend?
That's at Stanford. At Stanford.
At Stanford.
At Stanford. Okay. So when we come back, we'll be breaking down the other best bets of the day. Keep it where it is. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, Gabe Morenci, live from Studio 34.
Texas Tech quarterback.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire. If I get drunk, well, I
know I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you. Ripping through week one right here on College Football Today, brought to you by BetDSI. We're gonna go into our best bet selection. I'm not gonna wait around. I love Louisville tonight. They're plus 24. Where is it right now? I'm taking Louisville. Took them on the money line. I took them to win the national championship. I have Louisville.
Wait. Did you really take them?
I did, because I'm going to hedge after if they win over. I got them at 500-1. So 500-1 on just $100 is 50K. So think of it that way.
Current number at BetDSI, 23.5. Louisville now getting 23.5.
Louisville's my pick. I think they're going to be able to stretch Alabama. They jump up early. Could be a long day and Alabama might be on the ropes. I love Will Grier today. It's another one of my best bets. My two best bets, West Virginia and Louisville. I think West Virginia's ability to jump up early on Tennessee and force that offense, that anemic offense, to play from behind is the difference. You're talking about a Tennessee defense that allowed 251 rushing yards per game. New head coach and Jeremy Pruitt. Doesn't matter. I like West Virginia minus the 10 over Tennessee and Charlotte. We spoke about it before. Kirk Ferentz has the opportunity to knock off Hayden Fry and become Iowa's all-time winningest head coach. A lot of suspensions. To me, it doesn't matter. I know Northern has played them very tough. Iowa's 2-1 over the last three meetings, won those two by only 4 points. But Iowa does get the win today by double digits. I think 17-20 over Northern Illinois. Calling for the outright upset, Va-Tech over Florida State and Willie Taggart on Monday night. Josh Jackson is the difference. Michigan, Gabe, your jersey better not let me down. Michigan and Shea Patterson win a 10-13 point victory in South Bend later tonight. I'm going with my buddy Terry Bowden plus the 26.5 over Nebraska later.
Of course
today.
You are.
Of course I am. Plus the 26.5.
I wish we
He's
had a camera.
On the money line, too.
And then I'm taking LSU. I like LSU plus the 3. I also like LSU on the money line. Not sold on the physicality of Miami. And more importantly, Mark Richt in a big spot. You could talk about Ed Orgeron, but LSU will bring it this coming Saturday in Arlington. They get a 10-point win over the U and the turnover chain.
Right, I wish we had a camera on Rich's face when he smiled when you
thinks all of his picks are golden.
Rich, of course I do.
Yeah, right.
Don't you think all of yours are golden or no?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay, you're wrong, because most of your picks I disagree with.
Right. What do you got?
Louisville will not beat Alabama. I'm not even sure they'll cover. I think the one I agree with Joe on is Michigan. I think we're all in agreement with the Wolverines. My picks are Wyoming is my best bet of the day. I certainly liked it more at 7.5. Love the Wyoming defense. against the Washington State offense, despite the fact that Gardner Minshew is under center and Tracy Clays is the defensive coordinator. I like Wyoming at home. Marshall, I think. Good money going on Marshall at this point. Better defense than against Miami of Ohio. Two great wide receivers to watch here. James Gardner for the Red Hawks, Tyree Brady for Marshall, and look out for Alex Thompson, a transfer from Wagner, the quarterback now for Marshall. I like the Thundering Herd. Tough spot on the road. Cal, to me, is a rising program under Justin Wilcox. Physical, offensive line, intact. Patrick Laird on the ground, I think, has a big day against the suspension-riddled North Carolina team. Larry Fedora and his Tar Heels going out to the West Coast. I think it's a bad mix. I like Cal. I like Cincinnati. Gabe brought up a great point. I mean, am I that confident in the Bearcat team? Maybe not. But I think these are too many points for UCLA, laying more than two touchdowns. First game with Chip Kelly. Wilton Spate, sort of an easy-to-hit target in the backfield. So I like Cincinnati. Three games I've already started, but we did cover them in the second hour for anybody who was listening. Ole Miss looks good. Maryland looks outstanding right now over Joe Lucy's Texas Longhorns. Ahead by a touchdown, plus getting 13 points, Joe. 13 plus 7 is 20, so we're up by 20 points on that one. And FAU looks like a dog with fleas right now. I have them getting 21, already down by 21. And finally, Michigan Wolverines, we're all in agreement. I really like Shea Patterson, love the Don Brown defense. So I think they go into South Bend, and Jim Harbaugh gets a truly signature victory in the biggest game of the weekend.
And it really would truly be a signature victory. We talked about it. He doesn't really have that feather in the cap, just one win against Michigan State. But I'm going to start off here with a game that I hope they cover. Otherwise, I'm going to cost people a lot of money around North America and around the world, actually. But I'm going to start off with NIU and the Huskies here. Northern Illinois. I'm not wavering. They went into Big Ten country and they won last year. Northern Illinois historically have been one of the best road teams in college football. They're a stacked team. They're a veteran team. Iowa's going to get all they can handle to win this football game, let alone win by 9.5, 10 points. Let's go with UNLV. Go fight, win. UNLV getting 26.5. At least they were. It's starting to come down a little bit right now. We talked about UNLV skill position players, including Armani Rogers, who really is. It was shocking that he actually ended up going to UNLV. I like the skill position players. USC, they've got Stanford coming up next week. They've got a trip coming up to Austin, Texas in 2 weeks. They've got a lot of pressure on them right now. They've got a kid that's in his first ever collegiate start. They've lost some guys in the secondary. There's just some tweaking going on. USC are still a good football team. They're still a powerhouse, but they're tweaking things right now. And this is more of a dress rehearsal for them. So give me UNLV. Plus the points. Listen, I don't agree with anything that Jerry Falwell Jr. says, and I think that he's insane. But I'm going to be betting on the football team, nevertheless. You like that, Rick?
Yes, I do. Yeah,
I'm taking Liberty. Give me Liberty or give me death. Give me Liberty, baby. Old Dominion, they've lost everybody. Liberty wanted to get into the Conference USA, couldn't, got rejected. They've got a chip on their shoulder right now. Of course, this is the same Liberty team that beat Baylor last year as a 33.5 point underdog. So I like the Liberty Flames in this spot. In fact, guys, a little bonus. We'll take Liberty on the money line as well at plus 195. Hail to the victor, Wolverine. Michigan get it done. Better defense, better quarterback, and just a much deeper football team. This is a must win for Harbaugh. He couldn't win in the Super Bowl. He can't beat Ohio State. You better be able to beat the Leprechauns at Notre Dame. I think he does. I like the over a lot. This game's flying under the radar with SMU and North Texas over 71. North Texas were an over machine. 9 of their games last year, they were 9-4 to the over in 13 games. We know that SMU are going to move the ball. We know that SMU can't stop anybody. Sonny Dykes has never had a team that's had a defense before. So let's go over the number there. So we got NIU, UNLV, Liberty, Michigan, SMU, and North Texas over, and a couple of quick bonus picks. We'll give you the Auburn Tigers to get it done against the Washington Huskies, and a late-night bailout special, Navy and Hawaii over 62 points. I think there's going to be a ton of points scored in this football game, and I actually think Navy covered the number as well, guys.
I want to talk about two games we haven't brought up. They're big Power 5 teams. You got Penn State at home right around 23.5, 24 against App State. The big thing about this, and I want to get your take on it, is over the last 2 years under James Franklin, Penn State is 14-0 and have won those 14 games by 24.6 points per game, right on the number. And now you lose Joe Moorhead. You lose 161 receptions with Barkley, Gesicki, and Hamilton moving on. Could Penn State cover this number at home? I think they can. Again, there's no margin of error. I think the loss of Taylor Lamb for me, for App State, even though Jalen Moore's there, they're going to have to attack that defense vertically. I mean, it's right where it should be. I think Penn State, I think they cover this number. It's not going to be easy, but I could see them winning by 28 to 30 points.
Penn State's an interesting team because of the losses that you mentioned. High-profile losses, obviously Saquon, now a New York Giant, high first-round draft choice. Joe Moorhead, the head coach of Mississippi State. How about the 8 defensive starters that they lost as well? The one thing I'll say about James Franklin is, Gabe had touched on a report about overrated head coaches. Willie Taggart was on it. James Franklin was on that too, which I found to be very curious. I mean, James can rub people the wrong way.
Yeah.
But he's done an outstanding job in Happy Valley. I mean, under some trying circumstances when he got there, he's recruiting a different caliber of player. For me, this game really comes down to Trace McSorley. Do they cover? Do they not cover? Trace McSorley to Juwan Johnson, who I think will be the next big-time receiver at Penn State. How successful will he be now as the face of that program? And I think he can handle that. I think he might even be able to make a run at a Heisman contention, depending on what Penn State does. But that's a lot of points against an App State team that is always prepared. Scott Satterfield is one of the better young coaches in college football. So I wouldn't bet it. That's one I would pass on. That one could straddle that 24 all game long.
I think it could get out of hand. I remember App State at Georgia, I believe it was last
Tennessee
year.
Tennessee, too.
They sort of tapped out.
Tennessee.
App State will sort of quit. You know, all right, we're getting shut out. We're down by 17. Let's just get out of here and get our paycheck. I kind of hope, and this is called a market watch, guys, right now, in which, you know, you want to look ahead a little bit. Penn State play at Pitt next week.
Yeah, I know, and they're 14-point favorites.
I tell you what, I think the Pittsburgh Panthers are a sleeper. I think they're going to go over their win total of 5. I think they're going bowling. Last year they beat Miami. The year before they beat Clemson. 2 years in a row, Narduzzi's got a number one or number two win in his cap. He's got to put it together. They're like a guy. They're like a golfer that can drain pars and birdies, but they can't do it for 18 holes. I think next week's a dangerous game for Penn State, but if I had to bet this one, I would lay the points with the Lions today.
Yeah, and just to talk about that game next week, I mean, Penn State did not cover that number last year in Happy Valley. That was 18.5, 19. They didn't cover that ball game last year, and that's a huge game for recruiting purposes within the state of Pennsylvania. Somehow, some way, Pitt gets that victory. I mean, they take away recruits from Penn State. It's just the way it works in state. So
let me ask this question. It's going to be such a fun weekend between now and Monday night. You know, we get a chance to digest. Once Tuesday morning rolls around, what do you think the headline is going to be? I mean, probably surround.
Down goes Alabama.
That would be the headline. That happens for sure. What do you think the the final takeaway is for this week one of the 2018 season?
I think outside of, those games that we mentioned, all eyes will be on this Washington-Auburn game.
I agree.
I mean, all eyes, because that is a college football playoff eliminator. When you think about it, whichever team loses that game is going to be on the outside looking in and really has no margin of error the rest of the way to make the college football playoff. Even if they win, well, Auburn, they face Georgia, they face Alabama, but let's be honest. I mean, Auburn, they start out week one. They still have to play LSU. They have a very difficult schedule, and unless they start fast, I think he could be on the hot seat as well. Even though he won 10 games last year, if Alabama continues to win, you know how they are. It's a win-now mentality. Gus Malzahn will be on the outside
looking
in. Dean
Chizik won a national championship and didn't survive.
You're right, they ran him out of town.
Yeah.
I think the theme of the week on Monday/Tuesday, because it's Labor Day, we hope people have a great weekend, will be the hot seat that the loser between Kelly and Harbaugh. I wouldn't want to be Jim Harbaugh. There really is a lot of pressure on Harbaugh here tonight. You know, what goes up quickly comes down, loudly. People don't like Harbaugh. It's very similar. We read the same article, evidently, Rich, about a lot of jealousy towards James Franklin. Oh, Saquon Barkley carried him. And then somebody said, he recruited Saquon Barkley, right? It wasn't given to him. A lot of pressure on Harbaugh. I don't like Kelly. I think Kelly's a jerk. I think he's everything that's wrong with college football. And I think a lot of these coaches are. I don't think Harbaugh's a jerk. I think Harbaugh does things the right way. He's just a rah-rah guy. And he rubs people the wrong way, so I know America wants to see him fail. So if he does, I think he's really going to be, I wouldn't want to be Harbaugh next week.
There's no margin of error. I mean, that's the difference between college football and the NFL. We come right out of the gate hitting on all cylinders, and that's why, again, I don't want to see the playoff expand to 6-8. And I understand UCF with the asterisk and getting the national championship per se on in print. But at the end of the day, this is what separates our great game from the game that's played tomorrow on Sundays next weekend, is that if you mess up, guess what? There's next year to do it. And at the end of the day, that's what we're all about.
Yeah, I mean, it makes this weekend so special because these games, Auburn versus Washington, Michigan versus Michigan, Notre Dame, I'd say the same thing. I mean, I think that could be a playoff elimination game as well. And to your point about Jim Harbaugh, I think he gets sort of the short end of the stick because he's such a magnet of criticism, such a magnet of attention. People expect him to.
He's averaged nine wins a year, right, Rich? 3 years, 28 wins.
Look at what he inherited from Brady Hoke. I mean, he inherited a mess. And he really has turned things around. There's a lot of talent. So I'll be curious tonight. Notre Dame has a good defense, not a great defense. Where's the great pass rusher? Jerry Tillery on the inside is a nice player who will play in the NFL. But where's the great pass rusher?
Haven't had a great pass rush since Michael Stonebreaker was there.
Yeah, Chris Lawrence back in the day in the middle. The big loss of Mike Elko, too. I mean, that defense
that's a huge loss now at Texas
around
A&M. Yeah.
Under Mike Elko, he was a main reason why that defense was in
did a fantastic job
every ball game. And that's why I think Shea Patterson is the difference, because if anybody's going to attack Notre Dame's defense, it will be Shea Patterson tonight. He keeps his eyes down the field. Now, that offensive staff, I'll say this, in all the big games, the team that breaks tendency first will probably win the ballgame. You have to be able to break tendency in big ballgames. If you're going to play it straight up, you got to keep in mind as well, coaches are breaking down film 4 and 5 months. So if you're going to go status quo from what you did last year and allow a team to game plan the same exact way, that's why I like Louisville, because an offensive mind.
That's why I like Michigan tonight, because we don't know. No one knows what Shea Patterson's offense, what it's going to look like.
We know what he looked like at Ole Miss.
But it's completely different. They don't even have an offensive coordinator in Michigan right now. It's Pep Hamilton, it's Harbaugh, and it's Jim McElwain all thinking and talking together now.
I get tired of the concept of, well, you know what, this isn't the offense that Jim ran last year. Well, big deal. I mean, Jim Harbaugh will adapt to the personnel.
Talked about it with Kaepernick earlier.
He had Kaepernick at San Francisco and wound up taking that team to a Super Bowl. So, you know, Jim Harbaugh has the ability to adapt to the personnel, has a different kind of a player in Shea Patterson. And that comparison to Johnny Manziel, I love it, because that's what I see when he scrambles outside the pocket. His ability to make plays with his feet, make plays when the play off script type of plays, I think that's going to challenge the Notre Dame defense. They have some good players, but as a unit, you bring up Elko, which is a great point. I think he'll be missed tonight on the defensive side of the staff.
And the thing about Patterson as well, you bring up Johnny Manziel, he's a bigger version of Johnny. Yeah. He goes about 6'2", about 215, 220. But he's not just a scrambler. I mean, he'll look to make plays in the passing game. That'll be the difference. Open up running lanes for him.
You guys know this, right? It's not so much being fast and having a skill if you're a quarterback to get outside the pocket. It's about being smart in the pocket and being able to extend the play. Manziel made a living off of doing that, and now he's doing it in the CFL, actually. He started getting a little bit of a groove.
Alouettes, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. And you look at Russell Wilson, right? Russell Wilson's not the fastest guy, but he's elusive. He's elusive. He understands how to bring everyone to the strong side and go back to the weak side. And you're right, Patterson is great at that. Well, listen, Patterson threw 17 touchdown passes in 7 games last year with Ole Miss. All right, Michigan threw 9 TD passes all year last year. It's an upgrade.
You know what I wish Michigan had tonight was Tariq Black. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. But Michigan was the skill position talent. You mentioned Higdon, Chris Evans, Donovan Peoples-Jones, and then Tariq Black. And for the second straight year, he's having a foot problem and is going to miss this game and maybe, a month? He's going to be out for the season. It hurts, but I still like Michigan.
And what's interesting about that game is how they utilize the tight end in terms of recent years. We saw Jake Rudock go there. Jake Butt had a big year the year that Jake Rudock
transferred. Forgetting about Butt, yeah.
You know, I mean, Shea Patterson hasn't played really with a tight end. So do they acclimate the offense to meet his strengths?
That's more line movement, guys. Money's coming in on Michigan. Well, Michigan are now 2.5-point favorites. They're probably going to close as 3-point favorites.
Week one is in the books. We'll be here each and every Saturday, 10 to 1 p.m. Stay with us all season long. We love college football. Stay with us. For Rich Sermonello, Gabe Morenci, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great weekend, everyone. Have a great weekend.